God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Those who are watching us online, we welcome you. Just a couple of things I want to bring to your attention this morning before we start. First of all, right in front of you, you would see a card. In front of your seat, you will see a card. It's called Connect. Let's connect. It's important in a church. No matter how big or how small the church might be in size, connecting with one another is vital. It's vital for a believer to get connected so we can sharpen one another, so that in times of loneliness, we don't feel it. We can reach out and reach out to someone else who might be in need. And when we are in need, someone else can reach out to us. We are blessed in this church that we have many ways of getting connected and serving within the church. Just last Monday, we completed a Grow Track, which is part of our getting connected. So that's kind of like the end product, if you will, to get a believer, a person that is new to the church, getting connected with the body. So it starts with this. It starts with you filling out one of these. In front of you, you'll have the one Connect card. If you've never filled one out before, I encourage you to fill one out. Put your name, your address, your phone number, and any way that we can get in touch with you just to get connected, just to pray for you, and to believe God for whatever God is doing in your life. And thank you. And I want to be able to, Dawn and I, we pray on these Connect cards every Monday. This is our routine. Every Monday we gather those cards, those prayer requests that we get all the time. You can even do this online on our website on oceansak.com, and many people actually fill those out. And we pray over these. We rejoice with the praise report that we receive also in the back. So strongly encourage you to do this. Very soon we're going to start another Grow Track where we can get you plugged in. Amen. A couple of other announcements that we have, our tithes and offering. You can do it online. How many of you have downloaded the app our church app? Very good way to get connected once again, and also to give. And a good and easy and safe way for you to sow a seed towards what we're doing here. If you're believing in our ministry and you're part of our ministry, we encourage you to do that. We are blessed in this church. I'm glad to announce that as of this week, we are 100% debt-free as a church. It made me feel so good to write this check for a little over $49,000 to clear off every debt that we owed. Great feeling to be free. It was like a burden that was on us, and now we're free. We're light. We can focus on what God has for us laying ahead. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving in every part of our ministry. We have people that are not even part of this church any longer. They're still sowing seeds. And we are still sowing seeds as a church way beyond the shores of Kodiak. So next week, two weeks from now, Sunday, October the 17th, we're going to have a guest speaker coming in. And she's going to come and she's going to worship with us. She's a worship leader. And she also ministers through a message along with songs. She's an author. She's been in ministry for over 15 years. She's part of a national speaker network, part of our Assemblies of God. So she's very well connected to the Assemblies of God, and also many other denominations. This next week, she's going to be in Wasilla doing a women's conference. And we're going to be blessed to also have her part of our Kingdom Women So, ladies, I want you to write this down or take note of this. Invite someone, invite a lady in the community to come and be part of this. There's going to be Saturday, October the 16th at 10 a.m. We're going to make another announcement next week about this. So we want you to actually know and invite someone. She's an amazing speaker, amazing singer, and she's going to worship with us the following week, so on that weekend, on October 16th and 17th. I've got a little short video that she put together just for us, if you can roll that there at the back. I'm excited to actually hear the word that she's going to deliver on the 17th. So please invite someone and be here to show your support to what we're doing. So, and now I'm going to take a little break this week, and we're going to have a very special guest speaker on one of our very own. He's our vice chair of our board, and he's been serving in this church for many, many years. And Peter Olson, would you come and join us? And I know God has got an amazing word that God has put on your heart. And this thing has been on your heart for a few Sundays now. In fact, it probably was the same message that you prepared when I was gone.
Right.
And now you'll get a chance to hear this message. Very, very powerful. Let our hearts be open so we can hear what God wants to deliver through you.
Amen. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. How are you doing this morning? I mean, how are you really doing this morning? Okay. Well, let's check that out. Some of you who, I use something to get to the bottom of how we're doing, that I'd like to just take a minute or two here this morning, and I want you to think in terms of a value between 1 and 10. Thank you, Pastor. You're concerned I got a dry message here, so you're going to deal with that, right? Well, I have dry sermons in the house. But I'd like you to just do a little introspection here for a minute, and I want you to think in terms of a value between 1 and 10, 1 being half a step away out of Hades, and 10 being half a step out of heaven. Okay, 1 to 10, you got it so far? And I want you to think in terms of where you are relationally in broad terms. How are your relationships doing? In broad terms, how are your finances doing? In broad terms, how's your relationship with Jesus doing this morning? And if you mixed all of those things in, I mean really all of the things that can be summarized and distilled down into a single number of where you are between 1 and 10 this morning, I just would ask you to come up with a number. Are we okay? And because when we take it to that level, when we do it inside of our own head, it's just really between where we are and God's listening too. How many of you know that? And so we come to a place where we deal with not just, and it's good to be pleasant in the house of God. I like pleasant houses of God. How many can amen that, right? And we come here to be encouraged, but we also come here to be real before heaven. Amen. If there is any place on the planet that you and I should be able to be real with each other and to be real with God, it's in the house of God. And that's really where I want to go this morning. And I'm going to ask you to hang on to that number, because we're going to want to evaluate where we are in about an hour. How much time do I got? A little less than an hour. And my prayer is that you go up and not go down. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Who is this? Who's he who walks in amongst the lampstands? What's his name? Okay. What's the name of the person we're talking about here? Everybody tell me. His name is Jesus. He's the one who's walking amongst the seven golden lampstands. He's holding the seven stars in his right hands. And in verse, he says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Good things, right? If there are things that we want Jesus to tell us, it's these kinds of things. "Nevertheless," verse 4, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Now, this letter to the church of Ephesus is one of seven letters that you'll find in the book of Revelation. I would encourage you, the book of Revelation says those who read this will come out on the other side with a blessing. And this is the first, it's one of the seven letters that the Lord wrote through the Apostle John to the churches of that day. And they follow a general pattern, and they all start out, "I know your..." This is an interactive thing. I'm going to be the guy who you don't like, because I'm going to force you to verbalize and to interact with me, because they all start with this statement. It says, "I know your works." Isn't that interesting? That's an important part of what we're going to talk about here this morning, because I'm very familiar with that we are saved by the grace of God and it's not of our own works. I understand all of that. But nevertheless, throughout Scripture, God tells us how important what we do with our lives is, both to ourselves and to Him. He says, "I know your works, what you do." The pattern goes on, and in each of these letters, there's a commendation. God accommodates us. He blesses us. He tells the truth about the things, the good things that we're doing. That's a good God, right? But then he gets real and he tells us, and in a sort of rebuke way, of things that need to be where we need to up our game. Is he still a good God when he tells us areas of our life that we need to up our game? Amen. If the bridge is out on the highway ahead, we appreciate a sign that tells us, you know, don't go this way, right? They're not being mean about us or trying to interrupt our schedule or anything else like that. They're trying to get us to where we want to go and do it in a safe way, right? And God loves us enough and knows us well enough to be able to, in truth, and in love, be able to offer us areas of our life where we can up our game. And we want to be, you know, sometimes we don't like that, right? But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? They're better, the Bible says, than the kisses of an enemy. And so God tells us some places in our lives where we can up our game. And then there's a couple of exceptions. The church at Philadelphia doesn't have a rebuke. And that's an interesting thing, and I'll just let you go there and read for yourself and figure out why. But there's no rebuke in any of these letters to the church at Philadelphia. And each of these letters end up with a promise to those that overcome. And in the case of Ephesus, the thing that they need to overcome is their loss of their love, their first love. Do you see that? God is wanting to set truth before us and to help us to get our lives back on track to a place where our lives are functioning and working and doing, and that you and I are fulfilling the original purpose that God has for us. Amen. And if we get a good dose of that this morning, I trust that the number that you came up with just a few moments ago will go up. Amen? Amen. All right. So this morning we're going to be talking about how to overcome the things that would cause us to leave our first love for Jesus. We want to learn something about how to overcome the things that get in the way of in our hearts that would interfere with our first love for Jesus. And so the title of the message is here this morning is How to Deal with Your Split Personality. As long as it's not your wife, nudge the person next to you and say, this is for you this morning. Do not do it if that's your wife. Just don't do it. That's not me. I'm not going to encourage that, right? And I want to share with you, as Pastor had left this morning, by the way, how many of you just appreciate our pastors? Amen. Amen. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and there's all kinds of ways that you can show appreciation for Pastor. Believe it or not, Pastor Shannon and Dawn are people that have red blood just like you and me. They have good days and bad days just like you and me, and they need to be encouraged just like you and I. And so I would invite you to think about ways that you can bless them and that you can encourage them. And there are all kinds of ways. I think one thing is that if you just get a card and just write a few personal things on there about how much you appreciate them. Those are reminders that can sit in front of them and that they can pick up when they need it. And so we're going to be reminding of you of that throughout the month of October. But I want to share with you a little bit about what's on my heart, and I think part of the reason why we're talking about here this morning, as Pastor said, I've been here a long time. I've been here long enough to where one of my daughter-in-laws was in children's church that I taught. True story. Katie was in children's church when I was the children's pastor a while ago. And so I've been in, that's good stuff, isn't it? Yeah. That's exciting. I agree. And, you know, being in lay ministry for as long as I have been, and I trust that all of us will be able to relate to this, is that there are things that happen in ministry and in church that challenge us, that we have to pray about, that we have to seek God for in order to continue on. And you know, there over the years, there's two things that I would point out to you that really kind of have stuck in my spiritual craw, and that has been when I know people that have been serving God, and there are a number of dear friends that I could name here this morning that sat perhaps in the pew that you're sitting in this morning, and that they had served God. They had actually been in leadership in this church for some time, but today they are not serving God anymore. Something took place where they just aren't serving God anymore. And as a brother, as a friend, as a leader, that's something that gets to me, Pastor. I am not willing to let that go. That's a mark on the darkness side of the ledger. And it's under my watch. And so there's something that happens when I see that and I say, God, what can we do? What's the essence of keeping us to where that isn't us and that isn't the person that's sitting next to me in the pew next to me? And so there's that aspect of it, and then there's another where those who have a really difficult time that in believing God. And that He has something good in store for them. Over the years, I've prayed for lots and lots of people at these altars, and we've had some. And God is good. Amen. So everybody say, God is good. And the goodness of God is something that when I experience it, I just want everybody else to experience it. Amen. And to have that fellowship, that sweet fellowship, where we are in agreement. Over the goodness of God, and sometimes, you know, it's just not anything else but soaking in His presence. And yet there are times when I know that there's somebody in the house that's not quite there. And it's like Jesus is so good, and He is so precious, and I live for those moments. And so to see somebody else that is in the presence of God and not experiencing Himself is something like the first one that gets under my spiritual skin. It says, Jesus, if there's something that I could learn, if there's something that I could know that would be able to make me more effective as a vessel that You want to touch lives in, then Jesus, I'm in. Because obviously I don't have that. And so this is kind of the heart and the motivation behind what we're going to do here this morning. And basically, I want to tell you that biblically speaking, I know that was a little bit edgy. You guys are gasping at me. Split personality. Who talks about that in church, right? But I want to tell you that biblically speaking, all followers of Jesus have a split personality. That means me too. Pastor Don, we all have a split personality. And that is best explained in terms of an old nature or the carnal man and the new man, the spirit man, the revived man that comes when we give our lives to Jesus and His Spirit comes in and indwells us. Amen. And what I'm going to propose to you this morning is that understanding these two natures is connected with our ability to improve and strengthen ourselves from being that person who loses their first love. If we are going to grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus, and if we're to grow and to learn how to walk by faith each day, not just on Sunday, Tuesday nights, right? Fridays and Saturday nights. Walking by faith throughout the week, throughout our days. If we're going to learn how to do that, if we're going to learn how to overcome our own weaknesses and sin, if we're going to develop a keen sense of discernment, we're going to learn to do this by understanding this thing I'm calling a split personality between the old nature, the old you, and the new you. And so we're going to dive into that here a little bit. We have to understand this. and how these things work about our old nature and our and the new nature, because these things are at work with you. If you are a son or a daughter of God, these things are active and in play with you right now. Whether you know it or not, understand it or not, like it or not, these things are in play. So we are forced to grapple with this, and we want to do it to the best of our ability. And so there's this old song. Old song. Some of you will recognize it. And it was sung by one of my favorite Christian bands and of my youth while I was in college, and it's called Old Man's Rubble. And it goes something like this. It says, "Are you puzzled by the way that you're behaving? Do you wonder why you do the things you do? Are you troubled by your lack of resistance? Do you feel that something's got a hold on you? Well, deep within you, there's a spiritual battle. There's a voice of the darkness and a voice of the light. And just by listening, you've made a decision, because the voice you listen to is going to win the fight. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you are, then you're headed for trouble. If you listen too long, you'll eventually die." I'm going to suggest to you that one of the reasons why a person loses their love for Jesus is that they're listening to this old man's rubble. Fairly recently, I was in a deep discussion with a friend, and I like occasionally having deep discussions. My wife and I do it almost daily. And if we go too long without it, we kind of feel like there's a part of our relationship that's not right. And but I was in this discussion with a friend, and she shared the thought that the two natures are like having a white dog and a black dog. And I really like that, because you know, that visual helps me. Guys, having a visual, you know, can help you, right? And she made the point that the one that you feed the most is the one that's going to be stronger and is going to grow larger. The one that you feed the most. And I think part of the challenge that you and I experience is that we are feeding the black dog more than we realize. And then when he comes and growls at us and bites us and that, we wonder how we got there. Amen? And so we're going to look at how we deal with this. Are you puzzled, as the song says, by the way that you're behaving? It is both possible and necessary to understand, but in order to do so, we have to know something about how you and I were created and how we were designed. You don't have somebody that doesn't know anything about an engine to go in and try to figure out while that thing is knocking the way it is, right? And so we're going to take an important look at how we are created. And I'm going to just emphasize this here a little bit before we do this, is that understanding who you are in God is foundational to everything else that we build on it. If our foundation is wrong, if our foundation can't handle the stress, if our foundation doesn't have all of the things that it needs in it, to build on top of that puts everything else at risk. And so who you are in God is foundational. And yet, and because of this, darkness, I think, understands this in many cases, Pastor, better than the church does. Because darkness knows that if they can compromise who we believe we are, then they know that everything else we build on top of that in our life can be at risk. And so I'm going to share some scriptures with you Genesis, it said, so God created man in his own image. How many of us here, raise your hand if you are included in man? Thank you, Tammy. I told you, you got to participate. So Tammy is created in God's image. God did a good job with Tammy. How many of you would agree with that? Amen. Amen. God did a good job with you. Now, I'm very aware that some of you have a difficult time receiving that word, and that's why I'm going to emphasize it here for just a few more moments. God did a great job when He created you, and He had something in His heart and in His mind about you, something special that no one else can do, nobody else can be. He created you in His image, and He created you uniquely. There is no one else like you. Amen. God the Father thinks very, very highly of you. He paid a premium price that you would be here this morning, that you would be able to know Him in truth and in spirit, know the love of the Father, and to experience it. He created you in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, back to Genesis. He created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Our pastor's got that down. He had to build a fence to keep them all in. Don't be laughing, Jesse. I can hear that over here. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Everybody say, subdue it. Everybody say, subdue it. He was talking to the man that He created earlier in that passage, and He said, there's a purpose. One of the purposes for this person, this man, this woman, is that they should subdue the earth. I'm going to suggest to you, you can't subdue the earth in the way that this passage says unless your first love is with Jesus. Amen. Good preaching, Peter. Amen. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Richard? Amen. All the fishermen said, the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And this dominion over thing also includes this black dog. Amen. Thank you. It'll go better if you amen earlier. Before I formed you, in Jeremiah 1:7, in the womb I knew you. This is important. This is so important. We can read over it, and it's kind of a nice sort of poetic thing, but it's more than that. The God with whom you were created in His image met you while you were in your mother's womb. This is important. Here in a few more minutes, we're going to see why that's so important. The Bible says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us what? The desires of our heart. You ever think about that? How does God know the desires of my heart? Well, He does. I'll give you the answer. He knows the desires of your heart because He was the one who put them there in the first place. Amen. He knows your real desires better than you and I do. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This word about knew us is an intimate intersection of a young person in the womb and the creator of heaven and earth. It's an extremely intimate thing. It's a delicate thing. It's a precious thing. It's a beautiful, poetic thing. He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. And I want to emphasize that because some of us here this morning are wondering if God ever hears you. You know, one of the things I learned a few years ago, I live here. This has been my home for 60 years, and I spend a lot of time on the water, and one of the things during spring and summertime is that there are places around Kodiak where there are bird rookeries, and there's hundreds and sometimes thousands of birds on these rock walls. And one of my favorite things to show somebody who's new to the island, and you go up next to them there, and it's noisy, and they're building nests, and they got chicks throughout that whole thing. And one of the cool things that I learned a few years ago is that chick in that ruckus, in that noise, can identify its mother's call. If that kittiwake can understand in the midst of hundreds or thousands of other voices and recognizes its mama's call, your father can understand and recognizes your voice. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, just later on in the same book, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That is the heart of God for you, to give you a future and a hope. And I don't know about you, I think that if that was a parent and they said that about their child, I'd say they're a pretty good parent. That you want your kids to have a future and a hope. And so that makes the God that we're created in a good God. He is a good God, and He wants good things for you and for me. And so this real you, the person that the Father created you to be, when you know Him, the real you is a threat to that black dog. You are a threat to darkness. You walk in the knowledge of God. You walk and to the point where you hear His voice, and your heart is inclined to obey it, like the song we sung, where the wind, if you direct the wind and it obeys, so will I. That you are a threat. If you respond to the words of God, to the word of God, to the voice of God, you are a real threat to darkness. Now, you may not feel that, you may not understand that, but I'm going to tell you that that's exactly what's going on, and that's exactly why this fight between the white dog and the old dog is so real in your life. It's after an obedient heart that loves Jesus. And if it can corrupt that relationship, if it can cause some daylight to take place between us and the presence of Jesus, then it knows that it has weakened our ability to be a threat to darkness. Has darkness ever stolen anything from you? Has darkness ever taken something that was precious? And I don't know about you, there's something within me that says, I want that back. You don't get to keep it. And it motivates me to engage in this battle between light and darkness. Amen. This is why darkness works so hard to keep us distracted, confused, and broken. It understands who you are and what you're capable of if you walk in the purpose for your life. So we're going to go a little deeper here, and I'm going to share some scriptures. These are all scripturally backed. We don't have time to get into it. These are things that I love to present and to teach on. But God created you body, soul, and spirit. And your soul is comprised of your mind. Comprised, not compromised. Here, hopefully your soul's not compromised. Your soul is comprised of your mind, your emotion, and will. So your mind is where your thought life is, right? There's another little exercise. I'll go through it. If you had a spreadsheet, a 24-hour spreadsheet that was segregated into 5-minute increments, and every 5 minutes, whatever you thought of in those 5 minutes, you would have to write in that box. Got it? So 24/7, sometimes you're going to be, you know, asleep. Sometimes you'll have to remember your dreams and all of that. But you had to fill all of that in. And if how many of you would want your spreadsheet to be placed up on the screen this morning? No. But if we did, if we looked at it, I could tell you where your treasure is. So there's this whole thing about our mind, and it's where our thought processing takes place. Our emotions give us a sense of engagement. We experience emotions and feelings, both good and bad. Right? It's one of the most beautiful and challenging parts of life, this thing called emotions. And this morning I want to just tell you that the things that you think and the things that you feel determine what you will do. Mathematical equation. Now, you may not like that, because I didn't the first time this thing dawned on me. Because I was asking, like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, I'm doing things that I don't want to do, and I'm not doing things that I should be doing. I know that, but there's a problem here. What's the deal, God? Well, here it is. Sometimes we look at the decisions that we make, and we just say, man, my decision maker needs to be fixed. But in this equation, I'm going to tell you, your decision maker is still your decision maker. If your thought life and your emotional life is in order, your decision maker is going to do just fine. Amen. We're talking about our first love with Jesus and how we can keep it. And I'm telling you that it is related powerfully to your thought life and to your emotional life. Because whatever is happening there is going to influence the decisions that you make. Now, Scripture has a lot to say about where to invest our thoughts and emotions. And I have this little six-letter thing called TNJPLG. And it's just my way of remembering Scriptures. Because the T is whatsoever things are true. Yeah, some of you have been reading your Bible. The N is whatsoever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. TNJPLG. That's your Bible telling you the things that you are to master and to allow into your thought life. If your thoughts are in your mind and you're in your thought life that aren't TNJPLG, the Bible says that you are to seize them and what? To cast it aside. Take it captive. You are the one. You may not know this right now, but you are the one that is in control and responsible for the things that you allow into your thought life. And it is a battlefield. Amen. How many of you know that it is a battlefield? Nobody knows it here. Pastor, we're going to have to do a series on this here. TNJPLG. How many of you know that this is the battlefield? Amen. And so we need to be animated about this, because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And last time I checked, the things that have been stolen from me, I don't want to surrender anymore. I've got children and I've got grandchildren that I know that God has a purpose and a destiny in their life. And if you're coming against my family, then I get animated and serious about it, because I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to do whatever I know to say, darkness, you cannot go here. You shall not pass. Amen. This is where the battle is. And we've got to wake up, and we've got to become animated, and we've got to allow God to show us how to prevail in this battle. Amen. Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. That's in your Bible. Talks about emotions too. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. It's good to laugh. Be around people that have a sense of humor. Dry sense of humor. That, you were thinking of it? Got it. But be around people that have a sense of humor. Why? Because laughter doeth good like a medicine. My soul sometimes needs some of that medicine. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your... And so if we have no joy, then we have no... It's not optional. We have got to be able to enjoy one another's company. We have got to be able to have a godly sense of humor and to allow the joy of the Lord into our life. It doesn't mean we are ignoring or downplaying the other serious parts of it. No. In fact, that's why it's so necessary, because God knows that we're going to have to go deal with those things that sap us of our strength, that challenge us emotionally and mentally. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. The black dog and the white dog want to have the primary influence in your soul. And it is vitally important that you can tell the difference between a white dog and a black dog. Pastor, they're looking at me like that's painful elaboration of the obvious, right? White and black. Everybody in the house knows the difference between white and... How many of you know the difference between white and black? It looks like about a 10-point series you need there. Some of them don't know the difference between white and black, Pastor. How many of you know the difference between white and black? Amen. And so, but I'm going to take this to a point where it becomes more real. John 10:10 says the thief... Is the thief the white dog or the black dog? How many of you think the thief is the black dog? Good. The black dog does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I am not necessarily operating in the prophetic, but he has stolen, killed, and destroyed things in your life that shouldn't have been. But that's the nature of the black dog. The black dog is bad. He is not your friend. And in no way should we cuddle up to him. In no way should we embrace him. In no way should we allow him into our home, into our thoughts, into our emotions, to the best that we know how. He is the enemy of your soul and mind. And the black dog comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus, the one in white, come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Choose life. Choose life. Somebody here this morning needs to hear this. Choose life. It might be the person sitting next to you that needs to hear it. Don't walk past the obvious, because there are people, there are many, many people. I am speaking from knowledge and experience. There are many, many people that need to hear those two words hooked together. Choose life. Amen. And so Jesus said he came that we would have life and that we would have it more abundantly. The thief is Satan and his kingdom. Scripture tells us that Satan is a murderer. He's a murderer. Not the kind of character you want to cozy up to. He's a liar. And I could go on for this for a while. But when the liar comes, you know who it is. Amen. Church, we cannot confuse. It seems, you know, on Sunday morning, this just seems like it's too obvious. But there are times during the course of your week and mine where darkness is lying through its teeth to me, and somehow I think that that's God. How many of you know that is not going to end up where we want to go? He is a liar. In him there is no light. He is darkness. Jesus went so far to say, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. And contrast this with Jesus. He is the giver of life. He was present in your mama's womb. He's a giver of life, not a murderer. He is the one that speaks truth. And sometimes we don't like truth. We don't like the truth about ourselves sometimes. And he is light. He is light. You know the passage, John 14, 6 and 7. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm just going to take 15 seconds to say there is an emergence of a lie that's coming from the pits of hell. That's coming in this day, in this week, that would put one of the most trusted servants of God that would suggest that he said that there is another way to heaven. Whether you've seen it or not, I'm not going to go any further than that, but all I'm telling you is that the liar, we must be over the target, Pastor, because the liar is turning the heat up. And it's important that we understand that Jesus is truth and he's life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. There is a contrast between light and darkness. Life and death. Truth and lies. And the war between our old self and the new nature is real. And it is a fight for the attention of our thoughts and emotions. For the one who wins the thoughts and the emotions wins what that person decides to do. So we just have upped the stakes about our own thought life and our own emotional life. And we want to be able to walk in light, in life, and in truth as we decide what we decide to do. These thoughts and emotions influence what a person decides to do in relationships, in our willingness and capacity to love, how we spend our time, how we spend our resources, how we spend our money. How many of you think that's worth fighting for? To do those things well. I know your works. The church at Ephesus did well regarding opposing some of the things of darkness, but failed at keeping their passion alive for Jesus. You and I are responsible for the condition of our own heart. And this conflict, this war, this battle is a must-win war. Must win. If you're like me right about now, you're scrolling through the things that you haven't done so well. Yeah, the preacher is saying must win, but you know, I've been battling this or I've been battling that for years, and I haven't got to that place of victory necessarily, and the preacher is saying I must win this in order to restore and to keep my love for Jesus on. That's what I'm saying. Because that's what Scripture is saying. And so the task at hand then is, how do we overcome? How do we overcome those challenges that keep us from winning this must-win battle? Good question, right? Big questions deserve big answers. And Jesus is up to the task. Amen. It's a must-win battle. And this battle may appear to be black and white. In fact, that's the way we've portrayed it thus far, right? It appears to be black and white, but it is not. The Bible tells us that Satan can and does appear to many as an angel of light. And the follower of Jesus must advance past knowing about Jesus to a point where we know him personally and intimately, and this is where the Church of Ephesus failed. A number of years ago, I was walking around property. God had done a number of things in my life up to that point and preparing to build my home. And there was a point where I was looking at this vacant lot and I was frustrated because my goal at the time was to be debt-free and to have my own home. And I believe that that was a goal that God had placed on my heart. And so, you know, time had transpired. It's a frustrating thing when there are building projects when a lot of time transpires. And so I'm up, and as I had learned to do, I was walking around my property, and I was praying, and I was seeking God. I wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to know, I didn't want it to be my passions or anything else. It's like, Lord, I need to hear you. And I heard this voice, and it said to me very clearly these words, "You will never build on this property." Well, that ended the prayer meeting about then. Right? How many of you know it's not a good idea to get mad at God? I was getting mad. It was like, God, why would it all of this bring it to this point? Only for you to tell me that I'm never going to build on this property. And then my heart said, hey, pay attention. Is that who you think it is talking to you? And I realized that it wasn't. My home is built on that track right now. What I'm telling you is that this thing that looks like it's black and white becomes... It comes to a point where he is a liar and he's good at it. He is a deceiver and he comes as an angel of light. And so we need to be able to understand and we need to be able to discern hearing Jesus' voice. There are times when what Jesus tells us determines what we do for years and years in our life. Where to go, where to spend our energy. And if we get tangled up with what Jesus is saying, we can really find ourselves in a pickle. If you've never experienced hearing Jesus' voice, or if you have at one time but have allowed distance to increase between you and the Lord, to where you don't know what he is saying to you, there is something that you need to do. And you can start that process right now. Right now. The Bible says to be reconciled to God. To be reconciled to God. 20 seconds of courage that says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get right with Jesus. I am deciding that that's what I want to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now there are ways, simple ways that are understandable that you and I can take to be reconciled to other people and to God. Amen. You can admit that you're not as close as you need to be. Jesus, I've been away. And just admit it. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, I was wrong. And I'm asking that you forgive me. Uncomfortable things to do, but it's necessary to get where we want to go. And then take steps toward him in worship. Take time to soak in his presence. Take steps. Take purposeful steps. If you're like me, there are going to be days where you don't want to, and the old nature is going to be kicking and screaming, and you're going to just have to drag that guy into the presence of God. But if you want to be reconciled to God, take steps toward Him and spend time in worshiping. Take time in prayer. And it doesn't have to be this theological, philosophical prayer. It's like, Jesus, what do you want to do today? Where do we need to go today? What do I need to learn today? Spending time with Him, just talking with Him. Take steps toward Him in prayer. Some of us may just say, I don't know how to pray. Jesus, I don't know how to pray. Would you show me? That's a good prayer. Amen. I've been at this a long time, and I end up in that position of prayer sometimes, Pastor, even to this day. How do I pray? I don't know. Well, He does. Here's a biggie. Fellowship with other believers. Spend time around other believers. Would you come here, Amanda? She didn't know I was going to do this. I like to call it shoulder time. If our shoulders are touching, that's shoulder time. That's fellowship. I'm close enough that just by our shoulders touching, she's communicating some things to me. She's a little nervous right now. She's saying, what are you doing? But we're sharing life together. We need to be able to be that close to other believers. Some of us aren't accustomed to that. That isn't the way, you know, our persona, so forth. Take steps toward Jesus and learn how to fellowship with other believers. Amen. Pastor showed us some things of how we connect. It is absolutely vital that we stay connected and that we fellowship with others. And we have to spend time reading His Word. This is a must-win battle. And this is a must-do thing in this battle. You have to spend time in the Word of God. You must spend time in the Word of God. I have a Bible app. And if you don't already have it on your phone, get the church app. These notes and everything are right up in there, and you can go, you know, spend 3 minutes on Wednesday and read through it, and you go, oh yeah, I remember that. How many of you would like the lyrics of Old Man's Rubble, and you didn't have enough time to write it down? It's in the notes. Okay? There's some tools that we have available to us. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you like being cleansed? Amen. Would you stand with me? We've just laid out some foundational must-have things for you and I to keep Jesus in His proper place as your and my first love. We live in confusing times. There is a full-out assault on truth today. And the airways, you can't go any place without being confronted with this. There are people that are discouraged. There are people that are losing hope. And church, I'm just going to tell you, I don't want that to be you. Some of you I know very well. Others, we haven't had the privilege of being introduced. But I'm just going to tell you, church, that I don't want that to be you. I don't want it to be me. And we've just went through some things that will help us to stay connected to Jesus. And when we're connected to Jesus, we can hear his voice, just like that chick on the side of that rock, hearing its mama's voice. There may be other voices, and today there are many. But we want to be so connected to Jesus that we can hear his voice. We want to be so connected to Jesus that if it requires courage on my part, that I'm willing to take that courage and to take that courageous step. We need to be reconciled to him. And the conditions are set for a person to not only know about Jesus, but to experience him and to hear his voice. And when we hear his voice and act on it, it strengthens the white dog inside. We need to be strong. You need to be strong. I need to be strong. I have this hope in my heart, Pastor, that in this challenging day, that when the truth of God is declared and the people of God hear it and respond to it, that they rise up above the challenges that we face. Because the Bible says that those who know their God shall be strong and shall do great exploits. And church, will you just allow me to speak that over your life? That you are strong and you are capable of great exploits when you're connected to Jesus. That impossible financial situation, that impossible bad report from the doctor. Heaven wants us to be strong. Heaven tells us we're capable of being strong, and that in the most unlikely of moments, we can do great exploits. I want to see the purposes of God in Kodiak, at Oceans United. I want to see with my own eyes the great exploits of God. I pray and I treasure the possibilities that as God's people we will arise to the occasion. We will trust God. We will trust the Holy Spirit. And we will find ourselves doing things in and for the kingdom of God that we just didn't realize were possible. I hunger for that. The possibilities of God in your life, in mine. It's all there, but we need to keep Jesus as our first love. His voice will seem familiar in a way that is at first not understood very well. When Jesus speaks to the human heart, there's a resonance that takes place that is like no other. That resonance wasn't there when I was told I couldn't build on that property. It took me a little while to figure it out. And I was puzzled about this for a number of years in my Christian walk. But I found it to be true. But when I realized how powerful of a thing it was that Jesus met me while I was in my mother's womb. Before I had a name, before my parents even knew I was there, the voice of Jesus was speaking with me. And that's why I went today. When a person commits their life to the Lord and seeks out His voice and He begins to speak to us, there's this resonance that takes place because it's the same voice that He met us with while we were still in our mama's womb. Amen. Would you bow? Just bow your heads. I'm going to ask you for 20 seconds of courage. And this is for you and God. It's for your own heart to respond to what's been shared this morning. But I'm going to ask you, if that's you, if you are the one, if you want and your heart wants to hear the voice of Jesus, you are like a member at that church of Ephesus, and there's been too much distance between you and the Lord Himself, and you want it to be said of you that Jesus is your first love, and that this morning you want to tell heaven that you want to take steps toward Him. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand for 5-10 seconds. Can you do that? I want to hear the voice of Jesus. I want Him to be the first love in my life. And I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to take those steps. Thank you. God bless you. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Can you raise your eyes and look at me for just a few minutes, just another minute or two? This is the promise to the church at Ephesus. If you go in the second chapter of the book of Revelation and read that, remember at the beginning we said there was a promise to those who overcome. When you and I overcome those things that want to keep Jesus from being our first love, there's a promise there. It's a personal promise. And He said, I'm going to give you the ability to eat from the tree of life. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I trust that you've been equipped with some tools to be able to fight. Some tools that have been just laid out real simple and plainly. That in your life and in mine, that we can take those steps to become closer to Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you about that number. You remember that number? We did some heavy stuff. We did some heavy lifting this morning. But I pray that that number is up and not down. That you have been encouraged by the Word of God here this morning. And that you know that there's a settlement in your heart that you've been equipped to be able to deal with the things that you're going to have to face the moment you leave this building here this morning. I haven't done a very good job if it's smaller. But I just want to close in prayer right now. Father, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters in this place here this morning. For those that are watching online, wherever they might be. And I pray the spirit of encouragement to be over them. Father, that, Lord, that as your people that are hungering to be close to you, to make you, Jesus, first place in our lives, that we would bring to remembrance, you would help us to bring to remembrance, Father, what your word has told us this morning. I pray that the peace of heaven would be over you, brothers and sisters. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you, and to bring you peace. in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you for being here this morning. Go in the peace of God.